Welcome to God Cares for You, a series of radio broadcasts featuring Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches the truth of the Word of God in a simple and understandable way that is easy to apply to your everyday life. Here's Pastor Rory Clark.
Would you ever describe yourself as righteous? I might have until I looked up the definition of righteousness in the dictionary. As someone who is righteous is upright, moral, virtuous, right, genuine, justified, good, honest, and fair. And if I look back on my best 5 days on earth, I would never be able to describe my conduct on that day as righteous, fulfilling all of the things that I just told you. On those best days of mine, I certainly was not upright, moral, virtuous, right, genuine, justified, good, honest, or fair. Now, if I keep searching the dictionary, I can settle on a term that does describe my righteousness. It's self-righteousness. I am definitely self-righteous. What is self-righteousness? It is the confidence in your own human righteousness, which is best described as conduct that is smugly moralistic and completely intolerant of the opinions and behaviors of others. Oh, yeah, that's me. Is that you too? Are you self-righteous? Well, the biblical standard of righteousness requires us to match God's own perfection in every attribute, in every attitude, in every behavior, and in every word. God's laws is given in the Bible not only to describe his own character, but also to describe the standards to which he holds every creature. Absolute righteousness is a requirement if you want to live with God forever. And it's pretty depressing if you think that every waking moment of every day you must match God's own perfection in every attribute, in every attitude, in every behavior, and in every word. I'm sure you'd agree with my assessment of self. I can't do it. Neither can you. Now, that would be quite a predicament if the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of the universe, had not stepped in and on our behalf at the cross shed his blood to give us the opportunity to have his own righteousness. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took away our sins, and for those who want it, gave us righteousness, his righteousness, in return. And that's what we'll be learning about in today's lesson. Welcome to the program. Today's study, righteousness means God always knows and does the perfect thing. We continue our study of Paul's letter to the believers in Christ at first century Rome, his letter to the Romans, and we have turned our attention from works and human self-righteousness to grace and God's divine righteousness. So let's listen to the passage under study together. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness from God has been made clearly visible, being witnessed to by the Mosaic law and by the Old Testament prophets. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:25, whom God the Father displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate God the Father's righteousness, because in the forbearance of the Father, he passed over the sins previously committed. Romans 3:26, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be considered just, and so that he would be considered the justifier of the one who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:27, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans 3:29, or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Romans 3:30, so indeed God the Father, who will justify the circumcised by faith, and who will justify the uncircumcised through faith, is one and the same God. Romans 3:31, do we then nullify the Mosaic law through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? May it never be. Absolutely not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Well, we're looking into the depths of righteousness. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness from God has been made clearly visible. If you wanted to describe the righteousness from God in a few words, this would do it. God is righteousness in his very person. That means God always knows the absolutely perfect thing to do. And God always does the absolutely perfect thing. Why? Because God is absolutely perfect. It was an absolutely perfect decision for the righteousness of God to release you from the responsibility for keeping the law and from the responsibility of covering your own sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God the Father made the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in union with him. It was an absolutely perfect decision for the righteousness of God to ask you to trust him for everything. Why? Because God, who created you, always knows exactly what is perfect for you and always does what is absolutely perfect for you. Do you trust God for everything? John chapter 19, verse 30 says, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine on the cross, he said, it is finished. And Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit into the hands of God the Father. It is finished is as much a commentary on the law as it is on our salvation. The law is finished. It was finished from eternity past, and it is finished forever. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, those six magnificent words, but now, apart from the law. Our salvation was finished from eternity past, and it is finished forever. God took care of everything. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. What shall we say then, face to face with these things? What things? The things of the previous verses in Romans 8, where God the Father is said to be working all things together for our good, through foreknowledge, predestination, conformity to his Son, being called, being justified, and being glorified. What are we to say face to face with these things? If God the Father is for us, and he is, who is effective against us? Romans 8:32, God the Father, who did not spare his own Son, but instead delivered him over for us all, how will the Father not also, with our union with the Son, freely give us all things? As believers in Christ, we are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. The two of us have become one flesh since the moment of salvation. We are inseparable from him. We have an unbreakable relationship with him, sponsored by God the Father. And that's perfect for us. God the Father knew the right thing to do for us, and he did it. He made us unable to ever be separated from him again. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know what that really means? Can you feel what that really means? Can you comprehend what God the Father has done for you? What he did for you is perfect. John chapter 3, verse 16 said another way, God the Father loved all of his creatures unconditionally. In fact, he loved them so much that this perfect Father, who has always known and done the perfect thing, gave his perfect and uniquely born Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a person the Father is completely satisfied with, that whosoever believes in him through faith alone shall not perish in the lake of fire, but instead will be the instant possessor of righteousness and the instant possessor of eternal life. God the Father's perfect righteousness is perfectly satisfied by his perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father is only satisfied by the Son's perfectly satisfactory payment at the cross on our behalf, the Lord's shed blood, because Christ is the only payment for sin that has ever mattered, and he has paid for sin once and for all time. Your actions concerning covering your own sin are irrelevant and insulting to God, an attack on the Lord's perfect work on your behalf. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the Mosaic law, the righteousness from God has been made clearly visible, being witnessed to by the Mosaic law in sacrificial offerings, and being witnessed to by the Old Testament prophets in direct statements. The perfect righteousness that is from God is not just apart from the Mosaic law, it's apart from all law. God has law, but law is hardly the point of the Christian life. There is the life beyond right and wrong with God, the apart from the law life, God's righteous resurrection life, which he gives to each of his believers as a free gift. Christ is the righteous resurrection life. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the righteous resurrection life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. Righteousness means God always knows and always does the perfect thing. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is your righteousness. You are given Christ's righteousness at the moment of salvation, and as a result of being in union with him, he becomes your righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God the Father made the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in union with him. The Lord Jesus Christ made a perfect exchange. He exchanged our sin for his perfect righteousness, so that we can stand holy and blameless before God the Father. And the Father will not see our sin. Instead, he will see the absolutely holy, absolutely perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. You have become the righteousness from God so that you can be. God always thinks and acts in righteousness. God always thinks and acts in perfection. And he knew exactly the perfect thing to do on your behalf. So righteousness means God always knows and does the perfect thing. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been made perfect. Do you feel perfect? Probably not. Because often after we have been made perfect, we cling to the past. Putting the past in the past is perhaps the hardest thing in the world for Christians to do. We'd rather drag the past with us into the future. And when we drag the past into the future, it's called baggage. We carry things with us that have no use for us now. As a habit, I have always looked back to the past. Obsessively, I rehash the past in my mind. I watch the movie of the past over and over, and I'm always hoping for a different outcome to the bad things that have happened in the movie. I have always wondered what I could do to change everything that I don't like about my past. I think about situations and relationships, and I obsess over how I could have handled them differently. Am I alone in this? I don't think so. I'm sure you do it too. Now, when we look over our shoulders to the past, we miss what's right in front of us right now, and we stifle our future. And God does not want us to do this. God is perfect. You are his creature. As a believer in Christ, he has a perfect plan for your life. He has made you perfect. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We believers in Christ are God the Father's workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus for divine good works, which the Father prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. Change is a part of God's plan for your life. Endings, transitions, beginnings. Yet when God comes along and says enough is enough to something in our lives and removes a relationship or a situation from our lives, we go into a conniption fit. There's a great book on the subject of change called Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson. It's a quick read, and next to the Bible, probably one of the most purchased books in human history. Who Moved My Cheese is an introspective tale written in the style of a parable. It describes change and four typical reactions to change by two mice, Sniff and Scurry, and two little people, Hem and Haw, during their hunt for cheese. One day, Sniff and Scurry arrive at Cheese Station C to find no cheese left, but they're not surprised. Noticing the cheese supply was dwindling for some time, they had mentally prepared beforehand for the arduous but inevitable task of finding more cheese. Leaving Cheese Station C behind, they began their hunt for new cheese together. Later that day, him and Ha arrive at Cheese Station C, only to find the same thing, no cheese. Angered and annoyed, him whines, "Who moved my cheese?" The humans have counted on the cheese supply to be constant, and so are unprepared for the eventuality of running out of the cheese. After deciding that the cheese is indeed gone, they get angry at the unfairness of the situation, and both go home starved. Returning the next day, him and Ha find the same cheeseless cheese station. Starting to realize the situation at hand, Ha begins the search for new cheese. But him is dead set in his victimized mindset and dismisses Ha's proposal to join him. He wants someone to put his cheese back. In Luke chapter 5, verses 37 to 39, the Lord says, "We are much like him. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. New wine must be put into fresh wineskins." Luke 5:39, "And no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough." We love our old situations, even when they don't work for us. We want our selfish and knuckleheaded children to value us again. We want old, abusive relationships to be repaired. To hell with the real world. We want to stay in college. We want our old jobs back after we're fired. We want our old friends who have dumped us as friends to come back into our lives, even though we really never liked them or trusted them. We want to cling to old teachings. We settle for our old bodies. And no matter how many times we see a situation isn't working for us, a few months later, we'll go back to the same situation, into the same thing, thinking somehow things will be different this time. But things aren't different. We refuse to see things as they are. The cheese is moved, and it's not coming back, and no one's going to put the cheese back for us. We love consorting with the old dead self, and we stay as far away from the new self and the new creature as we can. Luke chapter 5, verse 39, "No one after drinking old wine wishes for new, for he says the old wine is good enough." Well, I am officially on strike against the past. Please join me on the picket line. See, God bids us to think this way. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I, Paul, don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If a perfect God, who always does a perfect thing, removes a person from our lives, removes a situation from our lives, isn't it a good idea to enjoy the perfection? Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, know your deeds, but I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. Because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name." It's important not to distort this verse and instead to get the depth of its meaning. When you are sabotaging your own life with your own decisions and running away from responsibilities and relationship, you can hardly call that an open door. When God has plans for you in other places, he will initiate the open door. You will clearly see it, and you do well to follow without looking back. Such is your situation as a Christian. When God gave you believers in Christ his own righteousness, it was an open door. It means something. Do you know what it means? And are you living it? God has given you a new you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers are, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." The only way for man to achieve the righteousness of God on his own is to keep the law perfectly. There is no room for error. And once you break the law once, you're a lawbreaker, and you can not unring the unrighteousness bell. Once you break the law, you're a criminal. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness from God has been made clearly visible." Now, in this age, the righteousness from God is your way out. And from those who take advantage of the gift, through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, they are given a standing. They are able, through Christ, to stand before God the Father and to be seen by God the Father, just as he sees Christ, absolutely righteous. I wonder if you imagine ever that moment when you will stand before the risen Lord and Savior, the one you are in union with. Aside from falling down, unable and unworthy to approach his radiant being, I wonder what you imagine you'll say. As for me, I'll have nothing to say, but I know what I might feel, accepted. God accepts me. Why? Righteousness. The gift he has given to me so that I am accepted. I often imagine righteousness as a cylinder into which we can dig. And as we dig into the cylinder of righteousness, what might we find? I think first we'd find grace. Then we'd find unconditional love. Then we'd find forgiveness. Then we'd find Christ. Not as if they're separate, mind you, but as if these things were a path to Christ. For Christ is unconditional love. Christ is forgiveness. Christ is grace. Christ is righteousness, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Through righteousness, a free gift from the gracious and loving God, we are alive to God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. When God gives you his righteousness, you become his possession. Here's June Murphy singing a song that expresses that sentiment. You own me.
So I could be your bride. You own me. To your deity, you added human life. You're fully God, fully man. You are the sovereign great I am. You're my redeemer and friend. I am no longer enslaved to sin, and you own me. You own me. My life belongs to you, and you seated on the throne. You are my master and Lord. You make my life worth living for my life you have a plan. Your slave to righteousness I am, and you on a tree. In those 3 hours of darkness, you paid the ultimate price. Then you said, it is finished. After your sacrifice, you entered into spiritual death so that I could enter.
Righteousness is a gift to the ungodly, unrighteous sinner, weak as he is, and only through faith. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says, "Then Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord credited his faith to him as righteousness." So I have a question for you. Are you ready for the new and righteous you? Well, you should be.
You've been listening to Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches face-to-face lessons twice a week. For more information, especially on meeting locations, go to the Barah Ministries website at barahministries.com. That's B-A-R-A-H ministries.com. The God Cares For You radio broadcast can be heard every Sunday from 12 to 12:30 right here on KXDG 1280 on your AM radio dial.